This is an IELTS Energy Podcast, episode 1181, Captivating Conclusions for IELTS Speaking.
Welcome to the IELTS Energy Podcast from All Ears English, downloaded more than 22 million times with former IELTS examiner Jessica Beck and Aubrey Carter, the IELTS whiz. If you are stuck with a low score, our insider method will help you get the score you need to unlock your dreams. Get your estimated band score now with our two-minute quiz. Go to allearsenglish.com/myscore.
At the end of the day, you do need some linking phrases for conclusions on IELTS speaking. Today, learn three that can boost your fluency and coherence scores and give you more confidence on test day.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Aubrey, so you live in Arizona, and
yes, I do.
How hot is it there already?
Oh, it was like 105 yesterday. If we're going to be outside at all, we have to go really early. We played pickleball in the morning, and we were done by like 9 a.m. Oh. This is so hot.
Like, it seems like where you live is a difficult place to inhabit. And I know there are positives, like you're swimming outside when we still have snow on the ground. But so, like, at the end of the day, would you say that you really like living in Arizona or no?
Yeah, all in all, I think it has more benefits than negatives, which is why we live here. Otherwise, we would move, right?
So when it comes down to it, you would say Arizona is a great place to live.
That's exactly right, Jessica. And I believe we used three amazing conclusion linking phrases there. Go us.
So good. You guys, if you're not watching this on YouTube, you should, because I just celebrated, because what we did was awesome. Yes. Guys, we are teaching you three native and natural ways to end speaking answers today, because we know you guys mostly know the conclusion phrases for writing, you know, in some blah, blah, blah. But you know what, guys? It's super useful to have these for speaking as well. A little more idiomatic, a little more informal.
Yeah, and you do have to use linking phrases in order to score 7 or higher for fluency and coherence. So if they're not on your radar at all, there's a good chance you won't just accidentally use a variety of them. You have to be thinking about it. You have to be practicing using them.
Yeah, you're never going to accidentally use amazing vocabulary,
unfortunately.
You do have to be intentional about learning, practicing a lot before test day so you can use them. All right. So if you would like to, when we finish today's episode, I would recommend actually going back to the beginning again so you can hear us use these three phrases naturally. Because after we explain them now, it's great to go back and hear them in another context. And then you'll remember them better. So, Aubrey, what is the first phrase we're going to use today?
At the end of the day, which means ultimately. Both of those really are great, right? When you have shared any kind of details and then you're just summing up, right? At the end of the day, I would never do that again. Saying like, ultimately, I'm going to use another one. Ultimately, then you've made some kind of conclusion based on what you've already shared.
These phrases are really awesome. In speaking part one, speaking part three, if you feel like you've been talking for too long or you start to repeat yourself or you're kind of like getting off track, anything where it's like you're starting to not do great and you need to finish your answer, these are great phrases to plug in. And it's just like, just summarize what you want to say real fast, right? So, for example, in speaking part one, if someone asks, if the examiner asks me what kind of movies I enjoy, like, I know I would go off. Because, listeners, you know, both Aubrey and I love movies. So I would talk about the variety of movies I like, throw out some titles of recent movies I've seen, talk about the last time I went to the cinema. And then I would be thinking, oh gosh, that's too long. I need to cut this off. So I could say, well, okay. At the end of the day, I'll watch anything, really.
Nice, exactly, right? The tricky thing is, it's not that a conclusion is required, but if you practice this skill where you're really getting used to the length an answer needs to be, and you share three or four sentences and then a really powerful conclusion sentence with a high-level linking phrase, that is such a concise, native, well-formed answer. It's going to be impressive to the examiner, and you're going to finish it feeling confident. Whereas if the examiner interrupts you, there is that chance you have to fight through that feeling of, I got cut off. I got to get thinking of the next thing. Whereas if you are able to conclude it, you feel really ready to hear the next question. That's a powerful thing.
It is. And I like what you said at the beginning there. I want to highlight that. It's not like these are required, right? Like Aubrey said. And it's also like you don't want to have a conclusion at the end of every single answer, because that's not natural. It's weird. You can use each of these once during your speaking exam, and that's enough. But I can tell you for sure, if you use one of these at the end of a speaking answer, sum it up, you know, it's obvious you're done. Me as an examiner, I love that, because I'm like, oh, this is great. On to the next question. And it's just like, it makes my job easier.
Yes, but good point, because if you're planning on having a conclusion sentence for every answer, that's where you might really get thrown. If your answer is too long and the examiner has to cut you off, you're not able to get it in, and then you start feeling derailed, that would be a mistake. You have to really be flexible, like plan on, get used to using these, but also don't stress about it when you're not able to do it for each one. Don't plan on doing it for every single answer.
Yeah, exactly. And we're not repeating ourselves, right?
Like,
I hear students use, oh, that's an interesting question, or to be honest. Those two phrases I hear a lot. Like, some students just like catch on to a couple of those and then use them a lot over and over again. That's also not something we want to do. We don't want to repeat transition phrases. And here's the thing, you don't need an introduction and conclusion phrase in every single answer, right? So just have like three or four of each, sprinkle them throughout your exam. And that's enough.
Totally.
So the next one, when it comes down to it, so this is like essentially, right? Like, so it's also a summary, like to summarize my opinion. It's also very similar to at the end of the day, but it's very slangy. Like, well, when it comes down to it, I guess I do eat a lot.
Right. I was thinking, if you're asked in speaking part one, something like, what was your favorite toy as a child? Yeah. And you start sharing something about like, you know, I was a really creative and I learned to build these things, and you transition into talking about how important that is for kids. This would be great to say something like, when it comes down to it, what really matters for kids is finding ways to be creative, right? Then you're sort of summarizing your ideas.
I love collocating this. Let's extend it, make it more natural, easier to use. Follow it with like what really matters, or what I really think, because that's usually how we use it, right? It's like, when it comes down to it, like, this is my most honest, bare truth.
Exactly.
So when it comes down to it, I guess I don't really like my job and I'll have to change. Or when it comes down to it, I don't read enough. I know that. So it's just like, summarize that hard truth at the end.
Yes, exactly. Right. This is especially perfect if you're sort of sharing something a little bit controversial, but you're sharing like, when it comes down to it, this is what I really believe in spite of what most people think, something like that.
Yes. Oh, so good. I hope you guys are taking notes today. By the way, before we get to that last phrase, guys, I want to remind you about our free IELTS quiz, allearsenglish.com/myscore. Guys, it takes 5 minutes. It's free, and you get your estimated IELTS band score. super fast. So all in all, it's a great quiz that you should go check out.
Oh, well done.
It wasn't that hard, that one.
All right.
Okay. So the last one, it is the shortest phrase of today, and it might be the one you guys are familiar with. All in all. Do you think this is also appropriate for writing task two?
Interesting question. This does feel more informal to me. I think it's great for speaking, but I try to think about the main time I would use a conclusion linking phrase like this is in the conclusion. And there are such higher level sentences that are going to push you up to that band nine. This one is really easy and simple and informal. So I would reserve this for writing or for speaking.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
All three of these guys are better for speaking. When you are concluding your writing task two, do not say in conclusion, because that's so boring. It's so basic. Everybody says that. I mean, all in all is better than in conclusion, yes. Right? But use something interesting. I love in sum. It's like so straightforward, but still high level. I love it.
It sounds very fancy. It sounds like what a scientist would wrap up a research paper. In sum.
It sounds like I am giving an academic presentation with like one of those like pointer stick things.
Totally.
In sum. Okay. So all in all, this is very straightforward. It's just like in summary, in sum. So all of these guys, just use them to introduce a short, quick conclusion. So you finish your answer cleanly. So for example, speaking part one. First group of questions, right, about your job or your home or your studies. So the examiner might say, do you like your job? And everybody is of two minds about that, right? I think Aubrey and I are lucky. We love what we get to do. But I suppose you could also give like a couple negatives maybe, right, when you're describing your job, guys. And then summarize it nicely. Be like, all in all, it's really a fantastic job.
Yeah, exactly. And this is so flexible because it's not like you can only use it if your answer is very much yes or no. This, whatever your answer is, whether you love your job or not, or you share positives and minuses, at the end, you can use this, right? All in all, it's okay for now. Or all in all, it's the worst job and I need to quit, right? You can use this phrase no matter how you feel about your job.
Ooh, I hope you guys don't have to use that.
Right?
If you do have to use that, then pass that IELTS score. Go yes. Pass that IELTS test. Go to another country. Get a better job. If you want to check out our IELTS course, guys, it's guaranteed to increase your score. So you can go to another country and get a better job. Go to allearsenglish.com/KEYS to invest in yourself and your future with our online IELTS course. And if you just want to see what your score would be for free if you took the test today, go to allearsenglish.com/myscore. All right, Rad. I guess when it comes down to it, we know what we're talking about as far as IELTS goes, and I'm glad you guys are listening to us.
At the end of the day, this is a really great episode.
Oh my God. All in all, we're rad. Okay, we're going to stop now, guys. thanks for listening and watching. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to IELTS Energy. Hit subscribe now and don't forget to find your estimated band score at allearsenglish.com/myscore.